I'm Bruce Norris. I'm with Jack Fullerton. Jack Fullerton is, in my view, top-notch guy and a real pro in real estate. Probably the most understated expert I know. He's sort of like one of those hidden jewels that people like me call for advice. That if it, you know, we people think I get a lot of calls for advice. You're one of the people that the experts call. So that's pretty high up there.
Thank you.
And you've always done it with class. I met you in a night that changed my life because it was in 1986. I remember it because of two things. The meeting itself I was at because I had a specific situation, and there was a guy that was a mobile home expert, and I had gotten 6 mobile home lots in a trade and didn't have a clue what to do with them, so I was at a club for the first time, and I met you. And I remember I was the last guy. I was bound and determined to talk to you at the end of the meeting, and that's always the most dangerous person, right? So as I was sitting there, as you were trying to get out to your car in the parking lot, I was talking about how, you know, I was able to buy and sell. And you looked at my car, which was a gold new Mercedes, and you realized that, okay, this kid's like not for real or whatever. But that was our meeting. And it was quite some time later that you asked me to speak to your club when I think you felt like, you know what, we have a lot more in common than I thought through a mutual mentor, Jim Rohn.
That's right.
Yeah. And so, and I never thought about teaching, and that's been my greatest experience, to be teaching other people. And it's a passion, you know, when people always ask you, why do you teach? Oh, man, you know, Mike Cantu found out. When he first spoke, he was for Jack Miller. Mm-hmm. He called me up. He says, I would pay you $5,000 if you would take my place, but I can't get out of it. Mm-hmm. I said, Mike, you're going to do great. Open with a story. You're hilarious. And he calls me up. He says, I just left the podium to a standing ovation. I now know why you do this.
Mm-hmm. I was in the room that day.
Oh, wow.
I remember his knees were shaking before he went up. We were trying to calm him down. And it was fascinating. He was awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his information was great.
Did a great job.
And, you know, you were really instrumental in me changing my business model, because you always asked me this question, and maybe one day I finally heard it. What happens if Bruce can't work?
I remember
and,
that.
And I took that seriously. You probably said it to me for years, but one day I took it seriously. And what happens when Bruce doesn't work is nothing. And that wouldn't be good. And so that was the day I decided, okay, we're going to solve the monthly nut and then do it a few times over. And so how that's changed my life is, I don't know how to explain how at ease you feel when things don't go well, because you just don't worry.
That's right.
And that's a big deal. And you don't make irrational, fast decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm a snail.
Well, you know what? They usually win, don't they?
They do.
Okay, let's talk about...
Before you change, I want you to remember you sent me an email after going to Ireland, and it was one of the nicest things I ever received, because you told me about all the checks that had come in while you were gone.
That's right.
And I said, he got it.
Yeah, that's fun when you come home and you don't have bills, but you have checks.
Teacher is rewarded when he passes something on and the people have heard it, put activity to it, because it's an opportunity to put activity to it, and then a success with it. And then the teacher is rewarded for having passed it on.
Absolutely.
And that's why you teach. The teacher wins the most because he learns from his students.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very rewarding to do this. I remember when Jim Rohn came to the Millionaire Maker.
Oh,
and he
I
spoke,
do.
And somebody next to me was, because, you know, Rohn was up there in age a little bit. He says, guy leans over. He says, I wonder why he still does that. And 3 standing ovations later, I leaned over. I said, now you have your answer.
Yes.
Because he's still touching people. And I always knew that about him. I remember listening, and it was my top note to my brother, the very first meeting in 1981. I said, this man does not need our money. I just felt he wasn't there for that. I felt like he had changed his life somehow, and he wanted to share that.
You know, I wonder, where did you go in 81? Because I went in 81.
You know...
Were you here in Anaheim at the...
Yeah, it had to be.
because there was 1,000 people in the room.
Yeah, it was huge.
I might have been in the same room.
Oh, that's so ridiculous.
Is that something?
Well, and I had to sit at the very front table, and I didn't even want to be there. I didn't go there willingly. Uh-huh. I was there. I was kind of drugged there, and that was the first month I was in the property buying business.
Oh, wow.
And so I had a new toy as far as a career. I was just starting, but I bought a lot of properties very quickly because I was backed by somebody that had money. All I had to do was hustle.
Yeah.
But then I heard Jim Rohn that night, and I talk about changing your box. I just listened to him. I was totally enthralled, and I just remember thinking, when I went home, I wrote goals for all night. I just had never thought of all those things he said was possible. And that was a very impactful mentor for me. There's just no doubt about it.
You know, when I used to do a goals workshop, I got to pull out my goals from the first time I did them.
I still have them.
It's fascinating how many of those written goals, which I never thought I'd ever do, I have done. It's fascinating.
One of them that I wrote on that first day, my brother was a black belt in karate. And so in 1981, I wrote that. And then as I shook those years, I crossed that out years later, okay? And last year, I got it. And what's interesting about that, and those goals were there were three whoppers that I wrote, and there was the one of them was I was a millionaire, okay, so that certainly wasn't remotely true. Mm-hmm. That I spoke in front of an audience well enough to get a standing ovation, and I was a black belt in karate. Those three were the whoppers for me.
That's great.
You know, and to have all of those things having transpired. One of the things that happens, and this is when I was pursuing a black belt, you were an athlete. You trained athletes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I didn't do that. Mm. I was the kid that didn't do that. I quit. When I got asked to take a black belt test in karate, that was so out of the box for me. I had a really big struggle with that because Bruce Norris wearing a black belt, I couldn't match those pictures. It was harder than Bruce Norris, great speaker. And my sensei gave me a book. And for me, I have to get pissed off. That's just the way I work to reach the best I can. And that book said an interesting thing. It said, when you're an athlete and you're afraid, you play small. And I remember thinking, the night of the test, that's the only promise I'm going to make myself, is that I will leave that mat having not played small, and whatever the belt is, I don't care. But you know what? You and I have seen people in business, and a lot of times what happens is they're fearful and they play real estate small. And usually the separation is they don't know.
That's right.
They're missing a tool. So how did you did coaching right before?
Right.
Yeah. So where did the real estate part
kick in? Let me share a little history.
Okay.
First of all, I think I learned how to pay attention to money when I was 8 years old.
Okay.
And I was I had my first job. I picked up everybody's garbage cans on Tuesdays and Fridays. But what it did for me as a youngster, they don't let kids work today, which I think is really a mistake. But I had to go out and find the client in my neighborhood. At 8 years old, I had to then be responsible enough to always do the job. Once the job was done, I had to go collect my nickel. Then I had to take care of my nickel, and I learned to put some of it away. And I remember my mom taking me down to the bank, and we opened a savings account, and it was a big deal. And what's interesting, my mom and dad were divorced when I was 4. I was raised by a single mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she left me with a lot of things. She pushed me into a lot of stuff. She pushed me through Boy Scouts to be an Eagle Scout, which is a blessing. She got me together with a guy named Selwyn Douglas, who mapped all of Southern California for, not Texaco, for one of the oil companies. Because of that, and then because of somebody else in the neighborhood, I wanted to be a naval aviation cadet and fly Navy airplanes. And because I didn't have the good grades, I had to go to community college for 2 years. And pure luck, at that community college was a great swim coach, because I was not a very good swimmer at the time.
Okay.
And he had, of 10 All-Americans in that level, he had 4 in the distance swim, and I was trying to be a distance swimmer. And he decided, he said, you know, Jack, I think you'd do better as a breaststroker. He changed me, and 2 years later, I made All-American as a breaststroker and held the school record at one time. And from that, the period of time came up, NAVCAD, and they decided to revise the program. So I didn't get to be a Navy pilot. Okay. A year later, they came back on my door and tried to get me to re-sign up. But what they had done is revised the program and got rid of the whole waiting list. But because of that, because of John Joseph, my swim coach, I ended up going to UCLA, not on scholarship. And I got there, and there wasn't good swimming or water polo coaching at either schools. I didn't play water polo in high school. They didn't have it. Mm-hmm. It was a product of the city, LA City school system. But I got to UCLA. I swam 1 year, but the coach was different, and I did not swim my second year because he was a different type of coach. I didn't fit that style.
Right.
But I did play water polo. I wasn't very good at it. But when I got done, I got the opportunity, because I was a physical education major, to be the assistant swimming and water polo coach for 1 year at UCLA. Therefore, when I went out to get my high school job, I had this great, you know, dossier, not knowing Eagle Scout and that made any difference to anybody, and I got all these opportunities. Well, and one of the things that in my mind that would be important for everybody is that an opportunity occurs, and when it happens, you've got to make a decision. Do you do something with it or not? You might not even know it's an opportunity. But my first offer was I can't think of the name of the school, but it was a really great swim school now in Fullerton. And the reason I got the job, because my name's Fullerton. And I turned it down because they weren't going to have a pool for 2 years.
Okay.
So now I'm going to take the job in Cerritos. And the day I'm going to accept the job, one of the teachers had been knifed. I turned the job down.
Wow.
So with infinite wisdom, I take the next opportunity, which was at Linwood. Now, that's when Linwood was all white, and the railroad tracks on the other side was Watts. I didn't even know what Watts was. And I used to train lifeguards, so in summer, I'd drive right down through the middle of Watts. Never knew there was a problem. And got there, had a good year there, and then had an opportunity to get the job at Newport Harbor High School, went there, went from Newport Harbor High School. 3 years later, we played in CIF, done really well, got the job at Orange Coast, and that was a great blessing. And you think back on all those things, what you don't realize is by taking the job at Linwood, that was an opportunity, it turned out, because one day in the evening, I had left my clipboard at the pool, and we lived across the street. So I walked over to the pool, and who's there but the national championship water polo team, Inland New Pike. And I walk in, and these were great guys. They were not the Olympic coaches then. Turned out to be later. And I walked in to get my clipboard, and my God, look who's here in the pool. I said, can I watch your practice? Successful people leave clues. Mm-hmm. And basically, they said yes. So every time they had a practice, I was there, and I'm writing down everything they're doing. And I'm learning from them. Remember, I didn't play for good water polo coaches, nor was I good at it.
Right.
So then the next thing that happens, we get to swim season. And I don't really know much about coaching swimming because I got all this physical education, but nothing in swimming. And so I go over there to prepare for a workout one day. And who's there? Now I'm reading Swimming World to learn how to coach swimming, staying a day ahead of my team, okay? And who's there? Marie Rose and John Conrad, the greatest swimmers in the world at the time. Didn't know that Peter Dalen was a great swim coach at the time. So I walk in, I see what they're doing, I write down what they're doing, and I'm too dumb to know my team can't do that, and I give it to my team to do. So an opportunity again. Because of those opportunities, it grew, and I got better and better and better, and was able to go study. So what I can share here, I think more than anything, is something Jim Rohn taught us. Life should be a study. If you want to be successful, study success. If you want to be wealthy, study wealth. If you want to be happy, study happiness. But most of all, make your life a study. I think that's almost word for word. I must have heard him say it 1,000 times. So that's what happens there. So now I'm a swimming and water polo coach. And I'm married. And I decide that, and we won a couple of national titles at the college. And so I wanted to sail my Hobie Cat in San Diego Bay. So I drive it down there, and there was no wind that day in San Diego. I bet there's never been a day without wind in San Diego Bay. And one of the youngsters of my first national championship, Billy, had some tickets to the Rough Convention. I had no idea what that was. And he said, would you like to go?
Howard Ruff?
Howard Ruff.
Okay.
I didn't even know who he was. Okay. So Billy says, well, we got these, but he knew that the speaker was William Simon's father. And he was a Secretary of Treasury or something like that. And I'd heard his name on TV. He said, oh, yeah, let's go. Now, I just heard a talk recently. The guy said, at his graduation, doesn't remember what he learned at the graduation from the graduation speaker. But I don't know what William Simon said. All I know is that when we got done, we looked out the window, still no wind, and Billy was in real estate. He said, let's go hear these real estate guys. And guess what? Opportunity. Mm-hmm. Not at the time. I don't know it's an opportunity. I had no clue what this was. But here's what happened. We go, we hear the message, I laugh, and that's all. Then Billy says, well, I want to go speak to one of the speakers. So we go down, and some guy named Bill Thirio twists my arm and talks me into going to this class for $195 called Making It Big on Little Deals. And the only time it happened, they weren't even selling the seminar. They didn't even announce it because they were taking Jimmy Napier's place who'd had a heart attack. So if Jimmy hadn't had a heart attack, I may not have gotten where I got. And what turns out is I only gave my athletes off 3 days during Easter week. It happened to be the same 3 days as the seminar. I think there's a grand design in this world. I go to the class, and I almost didn't go the night before. They told me if I didn't like what I heard the first half of the deal, if I give them the book back, they give me my money back. Piece of cake. I got there. It wasn't anything about real estate. It was how to handle your money. I stayed. Next opportunity occurs. We're supposed to do an exercise, 6 pages of stuff to do to get ready for the next day's activity. You know, we go in groups of 10, and I go in there, and this group is starting to read through the directions, and the young guy stands up and says, I know how to buy real estate. I'll show you how to do it. I say, hey, wait a minute. We should do what's in the class. I was overruled by the other 9 people. So when we got done, we had no appointments the next day. So then what did I do? I come into the meeting, and there's this group in the room. They're wearing these big orange badges. And on the top, it says Art, and underneath it had Fowler, and down below it had Costa Mesa. I walked up the guy, and one of the things I've learned since this time, associations are a very good connection when you're negotiating. But in this case, it wasn't a negotiation. I just went, did your group do what they were supposed to do? Yes. Can I join your group? Yes. Unbeknownst to me, in those days, the first 10 people to sign up were group 1. Second group of 10 is group 2. Well, the evening comes along, and we're supposed to go out and look at houses. Motorhome rolls up. Art Fowler's daughter's driven up in a motorhome. The 10 of us plus 3 other add-ons go out and get in the motorhomes. We go out to Pomona and we start going through 3 houses. And I'm having so much fun watching all this. So when we're driving back, I said, if I really wanted to learn how to do this, what do I do? They told me Jimmy Napier, Warren Harding, all these other guys. So we do that. Opportunity, Art Fowler. All 10 of those people were self-made multimillionaires. I didn't know that when I joined that group. I started learning from some of the best. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is that we've gone through all this stuff, and they suggest I take these other classes, one of which was a tax class. So I take a tax class. And I go out, and I buy my first house wrong. Broken foundation, do all the wrong things. A real failure, a real miss. I still have the house, though. That's the key. I still have the house.
It's worth a couple more bucks than it
was.
Yeah,
and Warren always said, real estate is very forgiving over time.
That's a great quote.
It's a great quote, and he's so true on
that. It is.
And I've had the same tenant in there for the last 23 years. And they sent me, 24. They just sent me a note. It says, this is our 24th year anniversary with their rent check. They're great people. Wow. I mean, I've been lucky to get people. So because of the tax class, I could go take Warren Harding's called The Millionaire Maker.
Okay.
But you had to fly to Hawaii. But because of the taxes, I had bought one house. If I hadn't bought that house, this wouldn't be legal.
Okay.
I bought a house. I could go for education to Hawaii. It's a 6-day class.
Oh, wow.
But they also had another one scheduled a week later. So you could go to Hawaii, take the 6-day class, have 5 or 6 days to do what you want, then take the last class and fly home.
Okay.
Tax write-off. Didn't know anything about taxes before, 2 months before, so I've done that. So then what happens in that seminar, guess who's in that same class? Jack Miller.
Wow.
And, of course, he's very successful at the time, and he's giving Warren a lot of trouble and all that during the class. But then you had an opportunity to join the academy. Remember, I bumped into all these people in the academy.
Right.
And it was $7,000, and I'm broke. I'm $30,000 in debt.
What year is this?
This is 1980.
$7,000. When houses were 40.
$100,000.
Well,
in my area, 100,000. Your area, probably 40. Yeah. And but he gave you the opportunity to pay it over 60 months. That's $116.
Okay.
So I decided to sign up. Opportunity. Didn't realize what opportunity was. Didn't realize that the board of directors for the academy were Jack Miller, John Chubb, Peter Fortunato, Jimmy Napier, Don Tosher, and a couple other heavyweights. And because I'm in the academy now, it gives me a door to those people, which has turned out to be beneficial to a lot of people in Southern California because we could bring them in to be speakers during when we had the Commonwealth. So that, to me, was another opportunity that I luckily took. What if I hadn't taken it? Where would I be? What if I hadn't gone with Billy down to hear the speaker and had this guy, Bill Theriault? You know, if you know anything about fraternities, they call it hot boxing when they box a guy until he signs.
Okay.
That's what I was getting done to me. I was being hot. So I pulled out my credit card. He said, they'll give you your money back. Okay. So I shut him up. Well, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And it turned out to be another opportunity. Now, I will go to the class. If you go to the class and you don't put any activity to it, it's of no value. And I bought that first house with a broken foundation. So that starts me out a lot. And I don't know if I've gone too fast, too far, too quick. I was going to take a breath every now and then. Did I answer the question poorly?
Has your definition of being wealthy changed?
I don't know that I had a definition of wealthy. I don't think I have a definition of wealthy. Wealthy to me comes out of the richest man in Babylon. Wealth is not a pile of assets. It's an income stream that forever gives you more than you ever need. And I really believe in that, and I work on that all the time. I could have a bigger net worth. I could go out and work harder. I could have more. But I think there comes a time I don't have to show off. I don't have to drive the fancy car. I don't have to live in that fancy house.
It's not a contest.
It's not a what?
It's not a contest. In other words, when your personal definition of wealth is met, why you showed up for that, if you will, then it's okay to be done.
Well, I didn't go to that class to get wealthy. I had no clue. It just has evolved. And along the time, they and Jim Rohn have led me to some wonderful things to do. And I've made my life a study consistently. When I was a coach, I studied great coaches. When I've been in this real estate business, I study the best people I can find. And I keep looking for those people. There's not a lot of them left because they changed the tax code, and not a lot of people know how to put real estate together.
Mm-hmm.
There's more ways to buy than just buy low and sell high. I mean, there's a lot more to it, but nobody teaches it anymore, and it's kind of sad.
Well, I just interviewed Bill Tan, so you'll be happy to know he still does.
Yeah, well, that's true. Bill's a good friend. Bill and I both swam the same stroke, by the way.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so we're good friends.
Okay. What do you see, and yeah, we're going to run out of time pretty soon, but it's okay. I'm excited about you being on the panel. I've specifically made 3 panels, one with women, which they're unusual in the sense that there's some very successful women, but that's not common.
Mm-hmm.
The young guns that are, the first time they showed up, they hit it out of the park.
Yep.
And then the people that have been around for a long time.
Yep.
And so I think it's very interesting. You've had clubs for many years. A lot of people show up and want to do something. What ultimately is the difference between people that do this business successfully enough to where they get what they came for and the ones that did not?
Well, I think the big thing is a lot of people come. We had a couple of people that the Commonwealth was 30 years.
Right.
And in those 30 years, we had a couple of people that came consistently and never did anything with it. And that, to me, is the sadness. And I know I talked to Jack, and I've talked to John and the different guys, and the saddest thing about teaching is when you've taught all these people and you look around and you see how few of them go out and put activity to, they're afraid to miss. Warren taught us something. You don't fail. You miss. And if you go back and look at Babe Ruth, he missed the ball more than he hit the home runs.
Yep.
And I think changing fail to miss is a great word, change. And it's just like he always says, instead of ask your questions in a negative to get a no answer, he says, is there any reason why you wouldn't do X? And the answer is no for yes. And you study these people and you listen. Jimmy Napier doing negotiations is phenomenal, what he teaches. And he's worth listening to. And you just get, you know, and there were some other people earlier. They've all either died or got out of it. But there used to be some really good education around, as there is today. But there isn't the same type of teaching now because everybody's in such a big hurry. If people would just be patient and slow down. And when we were told that this is real important. Like I told you earlier, when Ward and I met, we have to sit next to each other's seminar. So you never know who you sit next to. So at least make friends with the people you sit next to. You don't know who they are. Well, I sat next to Ward Hannigan, and we went to lunch. And when we went to lunch, we had heard a speaker said, everybody in this room should be saving $1,000 a month. I'm in debt $30,000, and I only make $30,000. So I've already spent next year's income. And so we luckily got to sit at the same table with the speaker. And I'm a water polo coach. I don't want people to know how stupid and dumb I am. So I don't say a word. At the end of it, there's a long, long pause, and I had to fill the pause. I said, Mr. Dorsey, you don't understand. I'm spending 110% of what I make. There's no way I'll save $1,000. And he taught me, write down every penny you spend for the next 30 days, which took me on the deal to change having breakfast before workout to after workout, changing from a 6:35 breakfast to a 3:35 to a 1:35, right there's $100 a month. And that was a value. And then the other thing was Jimmy Napier came into town and he said, everybody in this has an opportunity in their life. They can sacrifice for 5 years when they're young and viable, or they can sacrifice 5 years when they're old and sick and broke. And he suggested go down and talk to the old timers. And you get down there and you talk to those people and you find out how much money went through their fingers and how much they have left is none.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a blessing to us. So Mary and I took the position and we sacrificed for 5 years. We saved every penny. We had a 12-foot tear down the living room carpet, and over it was an Indian type of carpet over the tear. And Mary has never had real new carpet because when we sold that house, we put new carpet in. But when we moved to the new house, and we've never changed the carpet. And we change carpet all the time for our tenants, but not for us. And so that sacrifice at 5 years, I thought, you know, this is being the stale again. You got to realize I'm working 60 to 80 hours a week as a coach.
Wow.
And the only time I could work on real estate was Easter week and three weeks during the summer. So I bought a lot of houses during Easter week.
Wow.
Did a lot during Easter week. I went to their seminar at Easter week. I bought three houses in one day on Easter week. Another opportunity. A good friend of mine, who was somebody I met at the original seminar, which was one of John Schaub and Jack Miller's White Belt Award winners, she and I had become friends when my wife had left. We were at a luncheon one day, and she realized something was wrong in my life. And she sent me to something, an experiential training. Because of that, I would never have gone to that. And luckily, Mary would never have gone to that. She was there. And because of that, afterwards, she and I met. It's been the greatest relationship around. Well, if you keep, that's another opportunity again. Okay? Because of the people I met in the academy, when my wife had left, somebody gave me a tape. and I was emotionally down. And I'm driving to Vegas to see a friend. And I'm ready to turn the wheel. And I'm listening to Mark Victor Hansen. He says, Jim Rohn says you need to go in style. So then I come to a situation where I'm at something and the guy's talking about going to hear Jim Rohn. Oh, I know that name. Can I go with you? I go. I get an opportunity to work for Jim Rohn. He doesn't take up the opportunity. I do. That changes my life. I mean, think about all the people you know. Things. I mean, one of the classic things, I'm so glad you had Jim Rohn at one of our seminars. The last time I got to actually see him and talk to him before he passed away was at that seminar. I think he died like a year or two later.
Yeah, it was not too long from there.
And it was really, we had the best lunch because it was fascinating. I walk in the room, all these people at that seminar, you had maybe 150, I don't know. And we've got the lunch room, and I had to do something, so I came in late. Jim Rohn's standing there with his plate, and nobody said, come sit with me. I grabbed Jim Rohn. We went and sat. We moved a couple people around so we could sit. And we had the greatest lunch. And I think about that. Opportunity. All those people could have had lunch with Jim Rohn, and none of them did.
You know what's neat about his legacy is that it is recorded.
Oh, yes.
And I just bought his entire pack of... whatever it was, I bought everything he's ever done.
So you got the 1981 class.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and over the years, you tell people you ought to listen to this, but it's the only thing you have.
Yeah.
And you finally realize, I don't have it all myself anymore. Maybe not most of it.
Yeah, so the tape doesn't work.
Yeah, one day I just got it all. And
I've been listening to The Challenge to Succeed that we both took in 81.
I think it might be in my car.
I'm amazed at how much it, I'm a little off track. It puts me back on track.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so basic, good stuff.
Yeah, it is.
And Jim Rohn made a lot of change in our lives, both of us.
Well, and what's interesting is what he talked about never had anything to do about real estate.
No.
And that's what most events we do are real estate driven. This one is not. This is more who you bring. And it's funny, you were a long distance swimmer, and we have Diane and Nyad.
I know,
coming.
That's
gonna be fun. And so it's going to be a great event.
My coach realized I'm not a long distance swimmer. I'm a drop dead sprinter. That's what he found out. He figured out I couldn't go long. I die too fast. But
Jack, thanks for taking time to do this interview and being on the panel. It will be a lot of fun that day too.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.